Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. This episode, we sit down with Tyler Farr, who is the man. This was such a fun episode. He was a couple minutes late. He actually got into a car accident on the way. We'll talk about it here in the beginning of this episode. We got Tyler Farr in the house. What's happening?
I'm just getting in car wrecks.
Yeah, we were just talking about my man got in a little car wreck on the way here for the most redneck reason. Tell him.
Well,
your truck's too high.
Yeah. there's a big lift on it. And if it had been a normal vehicle, it would have probably been like something you could have just buffed out. But the reinforced steel ultra like off-road bumper I have, like, broke a taillight, about knocked the bumper off, and there wasn't anything. You could even tell I even hit a bug on the front of mine. But luckily, the person was cool. Cop was cool.
And the cop saw your license, and you think might have been a country music fan, or you don't think they knew?
He didn't ask for an autograph, mate.
Okay.
Either that, maybe a Buck Commander fan. I got Buck Commander on
the side
of my truck, which the last time I've probably interviewed with y'all, I don't think I was a part owner in Buck Commander yet.
Okay. Well, my other question is, you were saying the last time you got into a car wreck was right before Redneck Crazy went number one.
Mm-hmm.
And today you got into a car wreck, and just recently, a month ago or so, you released an EP.
Yeah.
So to me, I take that whole story and boil it down to something you're about to do is going to go number one. You know, it's either going to be a song on the EP or it's going to be the EP itself.
I'll take whatever.
Okay.
I like your optimism, though. I wish my wife was as optimistic as you are.
She was pissed. let's talk about the EP. Why did you decide to name it Quit Being Country?
I wrote that song on the EP. With some co-writers, and that song's kind of like where I'm kind of at now, because it kind of, you know, talks about, you know, making some changes, growing up, getting older, and, you know, I have a 5-year-old, well, she's about to be 5, a daughter now, and it kind of talks like, it's basically like, and I'm not a person that kind of changes with like fads or anything. Still, you know, running over people and yeah, still redneck, you know, it is what it is, but yeah. Like, you know, that just basically talks about like how, you know, why everything else, you know, when God ain't good, I'll quit being country. Basically, like I'm always just going to be this way, and it is what it is. And that's kind of me. So this song kind of represents kind of who I am. So.
It's been a minute since we've had a Tyler Farr project, what, like 2 years?
It's probably two. The last one I did was with Al Dean.
Yeah.
And then this one, Jim Cadino produced, which he produced my first two albums, with Redneck Crazy and Suffer in Peace. He produced both of those. And they did pretty well, so I kind of went back to the drawing board and was like, hey, that worked. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, I want to speak on that too, because there's a little known fact out there that your first two albums debuted at top 5 on the Billboard 200, and you're the only solo male country artist to do this in the past decade.
Yeah.
Now, when I saw that, I got to be honest, I got on the chat.
Yeah.
And I got in there, and I was like, tell me if this is true. And it is. And then I was like, what about Morgan Wallen? And Morgan Wallen's debut album was, it was a top 10, but it was not a top 5. So if anyone is ever sleeping on Tyler Farr.
Yeah, take that, Wallen.
Yeah, don't sleep on that.
Oh, man. Wish I could have as many records sold as he has. Or streams, or whatever they call it now.
But why have your last two releases been EPs and not albums? Are you done with albums?
No. This next year, that's the goal, is to release an album. And I could make a double or triple album right now, because people are like, man, what have you been up to? You know, they'll say that if you haven't had a number one hit or a top 20 or, but I do the same thing. We tour year round, and Obviously, now's a slow time, but I'm still writing songs, still, you know, shooting deer and turkeys, and not the only thing that's changed is a 4-year-old little girl.
Yeah. Okay.
but yeah, it's, I don't know what the, I guess it's kind of, there's more EPs kind of now than like, I guess albums, more people are doing the, like, I don't know when that kind of changed. I really can't answer that. But I actually did Google that too when I saw it, my first two. I Googled, I'm like,
you Googled yourself.
I'm like, there's no way that's true.
You didn't know that until the label or your people put that up? No, who found that fact?
I don't know. It was like a few, like.
Who writes your deal, your media kit?
There's several people that have, but I saw them like, wow, I didn't know that. Is that even true? Like, there's someone just fluffing me up here. So I Googled it. I was like, oh, I'll be damned.
You had that success on a major label. Some people would say that you are crazy for leaving a label after having that success to go independent.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, a lot of reasons. Originally was with Sony, and that Sony changed label heads, as companies do. And I just wasn't happy over there, like what they were kind of changing, trying to shuffle up things. I'm like, no, it's not broke. I promise you, it's not broke. We just came off two back-to-back number ones. And three. And I'm like, quit messing with my bicycle. It still pedals just fine. Like, let me do my thing. Y'all do yours. And it was just clashing. And that's when, you know, Al Dean, we were playing poker at his house. And he was like, man, won't you let me put you on a label? I'll start a label. And he started Night Train, and I'm, you know, one day I'm like, were you serious about that? Were you just, you know, drunk or, you know, grandma's cough medicine? And because we were. And he's like, no, I'm dead serious. And I signed with him. But after I would signed with him, a major label bought out his Broken Bow. And it was kind of like back in the same situation I was trying to get out of. So I just made a, and I called him. I'm like, man, I gotta do this on my own. Like, and it's a good time to be independent. And no, I haven't had, this is the first year I've ever been an independent artist. So I haven't had any like huge hits or success per se as an independent artist, but you know, hoping that it'll come. And I've done a lot of cool stuff, and I'm willing to roll the dice. I've always kind of been that way. So
we were talking about Al Dean and cool stuff. When's the last time you went skinny dipping in his pool? You still doing that?
Oh, yeah, I think July. Yeah, peed in it, too. Peed in his pool. I did think about doing this, and he's not as good at taking jokes as I am. But I had this big extravagant idea that I was going to, cause he has, you know, the new thing is they put fresh water in these pools instead of like chlorine or salt. They do this.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm talking
about? I don't, but I do now. Yeah.
It's like rich people.
I'm on the HOA pool.
It's rich people stuff.
Okay.
I put in my above ground pool, I have a chlorine tablet. I put in this floating device and throw it in there.
Yeah, you got to like shock it.
And then I fill it up. I don't even shock it. Fill it up with the well water, throw a tablet
in
there.
Hell yeah.
Call it a day.
Kill a deer.
They have
swim.
A frog or two in there. Shit, whatever. Yeah. But no, it's a new thing they're doing. And I'm like, man, if that's fresh water, that means that like fish could live in there. And I'm like, dude, because I live right on the Duck River and there's huge catfish in there. I mean, I caught a 50 plus pounder flathead. And I'm like, man, I need to get some big old catfish out of the river, transport them to Al Dean's pool, throw them in there while he's at his Bahama house or whatever, one of his 12 houses, and just put six catfish in there. Because we have the same farm manager.
I was going to say, how are you getting in?
And okay. I was like, I was literally planning this. Like, I was talking to Daryl, and I'm like, dude, this would be absolutely hilarious. I need you to put a hidden camera up over there.
Dude.
And I'm like, he would lose his crap if I did that. He would not think it. He would not think it was funny at all.
He would.
No, he wouldn't. Now, keep in mind, he would not. Like, he wouldn't be like, wow, I can't believe Tyler did this.
Right, but like, he would just be like.
He would know immediately it was me. So there'd be no way to really. So, yeah, maybe next year.
Okay. What? There's more energy on this EP. Do you do that for live shows, stage?
Yeah, like, you know, simple. We've been covering Simple Man.
Yeah.
That was one Jason produced. And I thought it turned out great. I was super happy with it, and just it was very timely for me. And Wait Forward is obviously an up-tempo. And I cut songs for different reasons. Like, I cut, you know, the song Wait Forward, knowing it wasn't going to be some mainstream hit, probably, but it was more for the live show, like,
okay,
to bring some energy to the show.
That's cool.
You know, quit being country. It's more kind of down the middle, but you know, sing along kind of vibe to it. So, right. Yeah, I've different songs I cut for different reasons.
Okay. And what made you decide to put the Charlie Daniels record on the album and reimagine it a little bit? And another question, were you ever performing that while he was alive?
I played it. Yeah, I did. I played it while he was alive. He was the first, like, star, like, big artist that I met. I still have an 8x10 that he signed me. It says, to Tyler, congrats on your Redneck Crazy, your first top 10.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool, yeah.
Did he ever get to see you play it?
I don't think he got to see me play it. But I'm a huge Charlie Daniels fan, and just love his work. And that was kind of Al Dean's idea. Like, Jason was like, man, what about, because this was kind of when it was getting a little dicey with our country, like kind of around the COVID thing, mm-hmm. and tempers were kind of, and he's like, man, dude, we need to do this. And you know, and Jason's been known to stir the pot a little bit.
Was this before Try That in a
Yes,
Small Town?
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically he copied me and he released Try That in a Small Town. Because they both kind of say the same thing, if you think. And
yeah.
And I was totally with him. He's like, man, would you want to, you like Charlie Daniels? I was like, of course I like Charlie Daniels. He's like, what about cutting something like Simple Man? Or, oh, I'm like, absolutely. Hell yeah, absolutely. And so that was, he's like, yeah, you know, get in there and, you know this is how you feel. And, you know, you have your values. Me and his are very similar. You know, Try That in a Small Town, very similar to Simple Man. I'm joking, but about him stealing the idea.
Yeah. Is Love Me Back your most personal record, would you say?
Yeah, kind of, because it's real. Because, I mean, it's true. Like, you know, I shouldn't drink. I shouldn't do a lot of things. And it just is what it is, you know. Not necessarily. It kind of true because now I'm married. So I have to, like, when I'm writing. And Josh Thompson was a writer on that song, which he's one of my favorite writers, favorite artists. I've toured with him. But when I'm recording or writing a breakup song, which is kind of what that is essentially, I have to, like, switch my head back into the, you know, the Redneck Crazy days. And
got it.
Back when I was cheated on and was going through relationships and. Because now, you know, it's all flowers and sunshine.
Well, right.
I mean, most of the time.
Right.
Oh, I mean, it's only not whenever I mess up, because I'm the only one, you know, men
that's
are the only
fair,
ones.
That, yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What about having a daughter? Has that changed your songwriting? Like, would you want to write a Redneck Crazy now that you have your daughter and she'll hear it? Or do you?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, probably. I'm probably not going to write that now. I can, like, she's definitely got a little sense of humor herself. Now that personality's really starting to pop, which is making me nervous and more nervous every single day in my life. But, I did, it's enabled me to actually, you know, write, from a, you know, father's perspective, which I'm not really good at faking it. I'm kind of what you see is what you get. And I don't change a whole lot. So it's hard for me to, I'm not a good liar, so I write about what I know about, and I always have. And so it's enabled me now to write from a dad's standpoint. Like, I'm still got a little outlaw in me, but I'm, you know, I will pride my, I am a good, great father. I will say that. I'm not going to be like, I'm the best singer. I'm the best songwriter. I am the best father. So,
are you going to, have you decided yet if you're going to cock the shotgun when she's 18? Or
oh, dead? The shotgun's already cocked.
Oh, you're ready to roll.
Oh, okay. Buddy. Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for
like Brantley Gilbert once told me that if a guy shows up looking, talking, or smelling like anything that he does, well, he's going to stab him right away.
Yeah, well, I might take the brass knuckles that Brantley gave me and, you know, I mean, and I mind you, hell of a tour gift, end of the year tour
wow.
gift.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he's giving me brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles.
Let it ride to her. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
What am I going to do with these? Hey, I had a daughter. Now I know exactly what I'm with her for.
That's awesome.
But no, I did write a song, and it's probably one of the, if not the, one of them that I've written in the last probably 5 or 10 years. I wrote it a couple years ago, and it's called Redneck Like Me, and it's about like me, like her riding, because all my daughter wants to do, she did inform me about a couple months ago that she no longer wants to pursue her career as an artist. She said, I don't want to be a singer when I grow up anymore, Dad.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, okay.
What is it?
She goes, what do you want to do? She goes, well, I've been thinking, I think I want to be a redneck like you and shoot big bucks and turkeys in the face. Perfect. I did my job. My work is done. I did it. And I wrote a song called Redneck Like Me about her riding in the side-by-side with me looking for deer and
wow.
you know, doing country stuff and playing in the river. And it's called it'll be all my fault when she falls for a redneck like me.
Okay.
It's like one day some boy's going to show up jacked up.
Yeah, truck, and you're going to
ring and it's going to be all my fault. When
yeah, but you realize that and you're way ahead of the time with the brass knuckles. Like
yeah.
you're ready.
Oh,
so
I'm ready, man.
Like you're 16 years ready. Like, yeah, dude, I'm not even worried about you.
Concussion grenades and all
yeah,
kinds of stuff.
Bring it, all of it. have you ever been punched in the face?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that changes somebody. Like
you got to everyone. Every man should get punched at least once. Get them eyes watering.
I'm gonna admit. I mean, I've never been punched in the face, and I'm sorry to say it now. I feel like half a man. I would ask you to deck me, but there'd be a lot of lawsuits and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got out this morning without a lawsuit. So
Yeah. Because we're cool and all, but if you did deck me, I probably would sue you. I'm just saying.
And punch me back. And I don't feel like getting punched. I mean, it's not even noon yet.
Yeah, let's get it.
I don't even know if it's legal to punch someone before noon.
A couple more real quick. What is your wife's least favorite song of yours?
I don't know if she likes any of my songs anymore. She's like over it. She's like, I get it. I know what you do. Good job. You know, when we first were dating and stuff, it was, oh, my God. That's so good. Oh, yeah. And turn her on. She get all wound up. Now she's like, I've seen you play at stadiums. I know you have number ones. Have you checked on Hollis? her world is our daughter. And that's it.
And I
love it. No, I'm joking. Her least favorite song. I don't know, because she wouldn't tell me.
Oh.
She'd tell me she likes all of them, which I know is absolute horseshit.
There's got to be a couple that,
But like her favorite song is the song I wrote. It wasn't even on an album. And it's called I'm Whiskey, She's Wine.
Wow.
And it's her favorite song, and I've never said.
You never
Why
released?
Don't you cut? I'm like, you do. Don't worry about the wagon. Just load the truck.
All right.
Like, you do, you're a nurse, you do that, you stay in that land. And it's a good song, but I swear she, like, nags me all that. She's like, I don't understand why you haven't released this. And then I'm like, Jesus.
I mean, you know that if you do cut it, it probably would go number one. You know, that's just how it works for us,
probably,
man. You know what I'm saying?
You're probably right.
Stick to your guns. I get it, man.
Yeah.
What's on tap for you next year, man? You going on tour?
Yeah, so we're starting, I think, the end of this month or either right before or right after Christmas, we're starting this acoustic tour, which I've never done an acoustic tour, which I'm pumped about because I love to play acoustic because it's just a totally different vibe, a little more intimate. And, you know, obviously people can hear the lyrics a little more, and I can it's kind of scary for my guys when they play with me acoustic because I have full control of the driver's wheel. I can break into some Hank Jr. I can do whatever, and then no one can do a damn thing about it.
That's great.
But I really enjoy playing acoustic, and we're doing this Quit Being Country, which is the title of my EP, Quit Being Country acoustic tour, and we're doing one of our first shows, maybe the first show, is at the Exit Inn coming up.
Oh, cool.
That'll be cool. I haven't played there since I did back when artists did showcases.
Wow.
Remember those things?
Yeah, sure.
They come and watch, like,
yeah, you
instead
get dinner.
Of labels scrolling through TikTok going, no, we're not signing him. Yeah. They'd actually have to go get out of their house, put their boots on, get out of their vehicle, park their vehicle, go into this venue. Then they would have to watch a live show. I'll be damned. Isn't that something? What a concept.
I love it, man. Dude, thank you so much. This was fun. Thank you for coming by,
sir.
Man.
Thank you.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about this interview here with Tyler Farr, which I highly enjoyed.
Tyler Farr is the guy in country music who can say the thing that no one else can say. Like, he's the friend to have that can make the inappropriate joke.
Yeah.
Like, he needs a podcast, I feel like.
I do, yeah. I agree with you. I loved the delivery of his story about Jason Aldean and the fish in the pool that never happened. Like, yeah, I knew that he was friendly with Jason Aldean, but it seems like, yeah, Tyler Farr is like best friends with everybody.
I love knowing that there's someone out there that can really rough up Jason Aldean a little bit. You know what I mean? Because, like, he kind of has, like, a pretty idyllic life, right? He's got a beautiful wife and their kids. He's got an amazing house, and he has a lot of really nice things. But he's still got that redneck friend who's going to throw a catfish in his pool. Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
And it's I didn't know, like, when he first started telling the story, I was like, I don't know if I believe it. But then when he got into the detail, because the one thing I was like is, how's he going to get into where, because I know that Aldean's house is gated. So that was, but then he was like, how they share a gardener or a landscaper. I was like, oh, that was his way in. Oh, this guy was for real. He was about to do that. And he still might. I don't put it past him.
He should. He 100% should. I'd love to be there for it.
Yeah. And when's the last time you think Aldean's actually swam in that pool, you know?
Yeah, isn't that the thing? Like, when you own a pool, you just really stop swimming in it?
I don't know. I've never owned a pool.
I'll tell you what. I remember Tyler talking a little bit about the music business and his experiences with labels. I remember back, he referred to an area that I had an interesting conversation with him about. He was on Sony, and a new record label came, and they really hard pivoted away from what I thought was a pretty good album. And I asked him what was up with that. He's like, well, yeah, a new record guy wants to do a different direction and this and that. And of course, at the time, he was positive and said all the right things, but none of that worked for him. And soon he was done with Sony. It's just like a classic case of, like, someone coming in, messing with what's working, it doesn't work, and the person is left to kind of hold the bag of poop. And he didn't sound mad talking to you, but I'm sure he spent some time where he was just ticked.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I remember when the Redneck Crazy verse came out, like,
yeah,
that was like it was almost like a novelty song that went big. Like, I remember that being like the only funny country song other than that I can recall would be like Steve Holy Brand New Girlfriend or something. Like, when this song came out, like, I was like, oh, this is funny, but it's still good, you know? And then, as his career kind of stopped being so commercial, I started wondering what happened, you know? Now it kind of, it explains it, you know, he still is very popular, and for his fans love him. He just doesn't do much on radio.
Where would you put Brass Knuckles on the list of the strangest tour gifts?
Oh, pretty high up there, man. Pretty high up
I think
there.
So.
Brass Knuckles is legit. I don't even know if those are legal to have.
I was wondering that too. Like, can you buy brass knuckles?
I'm sure you could get them at those like flea markets. You know, I'm sure you can get it at like on Temu and Amazon and all that. But I don't know. I don't know if it's probably about as legal as it is to, you know, walk around. I don't even know. I don't know what's legal anymore.
I Google searched brass knuckles on Amazon. So I Amazon searched brass knuckles, and I'm not seeing an actual pair of brass knuckles to buy. I'm seeing stickers. I'm seeing 3D printed. I'm seeing car decals. A coffee 3D mug print with brass knuckles.
Okay, I found some at karatemart.com.
Yeah.
I see generally in the U.S. brass knuckles are considered lethal force. Typically, they're not allowed for carry, even in states where you can carry a gun. I don't know. I see brassknucklescompany.com. Dude, yeah, I mean, I feel like you can get them, but it's almost like a shameful. They make it like,
so that kind of goes into the one where I thought was probably the most, when Hardy told us that he got Lainey Wilson a gun, a judge.
As yeah,
a gift for the number one song, "Wait in the Truck." I thought that was pretty. No, but then I started sort of thinking about like some of the questions, like, can you just gift someone a gun? Because wouldn't that person need to go get that gun registered? Like, you're exchanging. Like, it seems like there's some logistics to be worked out when you make that gift, and I wonder if some of those logistics are just sort of getting papered over in some of these friendships.
Yes, definitely. Because like, okay, so I'm on the TSA website and You can check brass knuckles in a checked bag, but if your bag ends up in a state where brass knuckles are illegal, if your bag had to be searched for some reason and was found, TSA is required to report it to local law enforcement. So you can't carry on brass knuckles anywhere. You can check brass knuckles at your own risk. The final decision rests with the TSA officer on whether an item is allowed through the checkpoint. That, yeah, brass knuckles are like still, yeah, that's, I wonder if the end of tour gift was ordered online at like karatesupplies.com and just sent right to Shane Proffitt to get rid of that. Tyler Farr, just to get rid of that, the unlawfulness.
Yeah, it's one of those gifts that you really have no business. Like when a grown man goes and buys a wood baseball bat. Like, there's really no reason why a grown man has to walk into Dick's to get a wood baseball bat. And there's no really, really good reason for someone to own a pair of brass knuckles outside of just wanting to thump someone. Like, both of them are just for thumping purposes.
Billy, do you want to know at TSA what you can and can't check in your bag? I'm deep in the thing here.
Yeah, give me the highlights.
Okay. You can check box cutters. You can check cigar cutters. You can take a cigar cutter on the flight. You can check crochet hooks. You can bring darts with you. Of course, your razors. You can bring an ice pick on a flight. Knitting needles. Wow. You can bring a knitting needle on your carry-on.
That's fair.
Yeah. Lock picks. You can't bring a meat cleaver in your carry-on, but you can check it. This is pretty intense, man. You could bring a safety pin in your carry-on. I didn't know that. Okay. So you could, I don't know. Can you kill somebody with a safety pin?
No. I don't think you can. No.
Hold on, let me search it. Hold on. This is crazy. Can you kill someone with
I'm going to ask you to pull up. Just pull the plane up a little bit here.
Okay.
You're going next level. It's like that Leonardo DiCaprio movie. What was it? Insomnia, or the one where like they fall asleep and they keep going to different worlds with each new. You're on like the third level where no one really understands it anymore.
So it is possible, by the way.
All right, that's fair. It's all right. Real talk. You saw Simple Man on Tyler Farr's EP track list. Did you know it was the Charlie Daniels version, or were you like me and assumed he covered the Lynyrd Skynyrd song?
I assumed he covered the Lynyrd Skynyrd song literally up until like 2 minutes before he walked into the room. I mean, I had a series. I was going to spend 5 minutes on Lynyrd Skynyrd, and thankfully at the final hour, like as I heard his voice rummaging in the hallways coming this way, I realized that it is not the Lynyrd Skynyrd version. And I, you know, acted like I knew and I'd heard it, and you know, no one ever knows any of the different other than right now.
Now that we've shared all of our secrets.
Yeah. But that was an interesting pick, and I wonder why he chose that exact song. I mean, I guess he kind of said, but you know.
Yeah, he said Elder. I mean, I think it speaks to who he is. I think he's more of that kind of character, and he said as much, you know, kind of where his ideologies are. Jason Aldean suggested. And Charlie Daniels is probably a hero of his to a certain extent, or was. It's a good song, a good country cover that maybe doesn't get enough run. Covering the Lynyrd Skynyrd version almost feels like a little cliche, doesn't it? It's like you got Freebird, and Simple Man is probably the next best known song from Skynyrd.
Well, no, isn't it Sweet Home Alabama?
Sweet Home Alabama, Freebird, and then maybe Simple Man.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's don't in the make top me five, hit Google anyway. Again. I'm banned here.
I mean, I know some other niche ones, but I think that's a really, in terms of songs that feel, it's a little cliche, I think, to cover the Skynyrd one. So I'm
I got to meet one of the dudes from Skynyrd like 20 years ago. He was really cool.
Yeah. Went back when the Van Zandt brothers were doing that country duo, I met the living one. I get them confused.
Yeah,
Johnny and Donnie.
I mean, they
were very nice guys. Very nice.
Yeah,
guys.
I mean, full transparency. Like when I met them, I thought there was a guy named Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah, I.
You're not a classic rock buff. Okay.
I love the song. I love the music. I just wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't. I thought there was somebody named Lynyrd Skynyrd in the band.
We will not call you the Breeze anytime soon.
Well, thank you so much for checking out this episode here with our interview with Tyler Farr. And coming up, we have comedian Drew Lynch is going to be on next week's episode. And just a reminder, if you want to get back and listen to any of the past interviews that we've done here on Taste of Country Nights on Demand, just earmark this, podcast, subscribe, like, comment, all that stuff. It all helps us out here on our journey to the top here at Taste of Country Nights on Demand.